Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse 20 and read through the end of that chapter. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Will you pray with me? Father, we come before your word this morning, some of us desperately trying to hide behind our fig leaves, so to speak. Would you strip away those defense mechanisms that we would have, and would you cause us to receive the truth of your word? Father, as I survey your sheep this morning, I just sense that they're tired. And they need to be encouraged by the truth of your word. They need to be built up. And I can't do that, but your Holy Spirit can. Holy Spirit, take this, your truth, and bring it to life in the lives of your sheep here this day. Lord, grant to us understanding, not so that we would get bigger heads filled with more information, but so that we would be changed by your truth into the image of Jesus. Lord, please do your work in our hearts and lives this morning. For your glory, we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember Taps at Dutch Square Mall? See, I'm telling on myself, and I can tell on you too, because I see you shaking your heads. Dutch Square was it. Some of you may can remember when maybe there wasn't a Dutch Square. I don't know if any of you are quite that old, but maybe you are. But I remember when Dutch Square was it. There wasn't even a Columbia Mall. I remember when Columbia Mall became this new and the greatest and latest thing. And it's since worn out, and there's new stuff, Columbiana Center. But Cindy and I went into Taps at Dutch Square Mall. We were an engaged couple about to be married, and it was at Taps at Dutch Square Mall that we finally decided on our Falzcraft heirloom pattern for our home, for our wedding. Have you been lately into a store? Recently, Cindy and I went into a store, and we went to the bridal registry. I don't know if that's what you call it, bridal. Now you can buy things for the groom, too, and for both of them. And we went to the place of the bridal registry, and there was a guy back there, and he printed out a book for us. You know, we'd like this kind of, you know, and all this. It was amazing to me. Paul realized and called attention to a large house, probably a very wealthy owner in terms of his picture, his word picture here. And he says, in that house there are pots and pans, and there's furniture, and there's dishes, and there's flatware, and there's silverware, and there's this kind of glass and that kind of glass, and there are all these things in that house. You know, I've never found on a bridal registry that they would like chinette paper plates. Have you discovered that? But Paul realized, and he calls attention to this large, apparently wealthy home, where there were all kinds of goods in this home, varied in form and substance. And here's the crux of his illustration. He says to us, there were some that were used for honorable purposes, and there were some that were used for dishonorable purposes. But there's a couple of things I want you to see about this house. One, everything in the house belongs to the owner. It's his. And rest fully assured, as Paul makes the analogy and draws a picture of the church belonging to God himself, that God, the owner of the house, will use everything in that house for his glory. And some of them, when he's done with them, he will dispose of them. How many want to be a Chinette paper plate when you grow up? Rest fully assured that God is on his throne and he will do what pleases him. It is his house. So don't get concerned about, what about that? He will use even the dishonorable things for his glory and then he will dispose of them. He is an amazing God. But I'm here to tell you that I don't want to be one of those dishonorable things. How many of you have as a life ambition, don't raise your hand, to dishonor God? Not me. I want to be one of those honorable things. I want to be some fine china in the house of God. I want to honor him. In the church of Jesus, his bride, his house, there are indeed many vessels, many household goods. Some of them are honorable. My question this morning for you is this. Are you an honorable vessel? Maybe you want to be a vessel of honor. Maybe you want to be one of those vessels that brings honor to the owner of the house, the master, God himself. So how do we do that? Do we just roll the dice and hope for the best that, you know, maybe some of us will make it as honorable vessels? Or does Paul have more to say about that as he addresses Timothy and us as well? Well, here's the good news, bad news. If you want to be honorable, what does Paul say to do? Verse 21, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, from this ignoble use or dishonorable use, he will be an instrument for noble purposes. I guess I feel like, Paul, you might as well go out in their parking lot and tell the cars to wash themselves as to tell us to clean ourselves up. Wouldn't that be awesome? If my truck could just, I could, you know, push a button and it would wash itself. It doesn't happen. And I don't know about those of you who have tried or not, but I can tell you that my efforts to make myself clean before Almighty God just don't work. They've been ineffective. And about the time I think I've made up for one thing and cleaned that area up, something else comes ramrodding through the back door, and then I'm not clean again. So Paul, what in the world are you telling us in verse 21 if we're clean? Well, you need to understand what it looks like to clean yourself, and that's what I want to talk about. How can you cleanse yourself? How can you cleanse yourself from the dishonorable? How can you cleanse yourself from the false beliefs, the false teaching, the false teachers that address us in this culture today as they did Timothy in his day? Timothy, how do you keep your mind clear? How do you know what's true when there are so many like Philetus and Hymenaeus? They're teaching this false stuff. There's people who tell you all kinds of junk. How do you keep your mind clean? And how do you know what behaviors are acceptable in the eyes of God? How can you cleanse yourself in order that you might be an honorable vessel to the owner of the home, the master himself, God, the owner of his bride, the church? Two simple points I think that Paul would address in this passage. And the first is run. Run. Now, in my prayer, I told you I detected this sense of tiredness. It comes after running around the world in 5 days. And some of you probably, that's the last thing you wanted to hear this morning was for me to stand up here and go, okay, everybody ready? Let's run. But if you want to be an honorable vessel, in the hands of Almighty God, the first thing you've got to do is run. Run away. You remember Lord of the Rings and the Fellowship of the Ring and how they traveled through the mines of Moria and how they Gimli, the dwarf, made a mistake and awakened the Balrog of the deep. Do you remember that scene? And they said, "What's a Balrog?" And Gandalf, the great, tells them that, well, a Balrog is a demon of the ancient world. And so they're confronted by this Balrog, and there's this war that ensues, and there's a bridge, and the bridge collapses, and the Fellowship's on the other side, and Gandalf and this monster are fighting it out, and Gandalf's hanging on the edge of the cliff, and his head is just above the cliff, and he's looking at the Fellowship of the Ring, and he says to them, "Fly, you fools." And he was gone. And his last words at that point in the movie were to them, "Run!" is what he said, but he said it, you know, much more civilized than I just did. Run! Run away from the sinful desires of youth. What a great picture Paul paints here. Flee the desires of youth. Run away from sexual immorality. Youthfulness is when that part of a person is at its peak, and there is sexual temptation everywhere in our culture today. And Paul says youth have a difficult time keeping that area under control. It doesn't go away with old age, unfortunately, the temptation to be sexually impure. Paul says, don't just dilly-dally around with this stuff. You want to be an honorable vessel? Then this affects you, and what you do with your sexual life affects your ability to be an honorable vessel of Almighty God. It's not something to be toyed with. Sexuality God has made so greatly. And we in our culture today have destroyed it so greatly. And trust me, we're not the only culture to have done so. Run away from it. Do whatever it takes to stay away from it on that computer screen. Do whatever it takes. Get an accountability partner so that you don't end up with a movie in your home that leads you down that path. All of us would say readily, "I'd love to be an honorable vessel." Well, then let's be serious about running away from this area. Oh, can't do that. Well, do you want to be an honorable vessel or not? Run away from a hot temper. Now, I know that there are older guys who can have a hot temper too. But it seems to me that over the season of a life, some things come into clearer focus. And in early age, it's easy to be hot-headed about such important things like losing a badminton game, a tennis match. I wish that the temptation to be angry and sin would go away with age. But I think, rightfully so, Paul points out, you got to run away from this stuff. The evil desires of youth. Run away from greed. It's interesting how, especially in the latter years, sometimes, watch it in some people, seasoned veterans of God, how unimportant stuff becomes. And how sometimes early in life, stuff becomes everything. And Paul says, run away from that. If you got to give all your stuff away so that you don't become a slave to it, then by George, give it away. Run away from that evil desire as a child or as a youth. And it really seems to me to boil down to this idea that I'm going to conquer the world my way. I'm here to do what I want for me. That's sort of kind of the evil desire of youth. It's all about me. And Paul says, run away from that. Run away from that. Run away even from foolish and stupid arguments, which, as James indicates in chapter 4, arise out of this greed and this selfishness and this centeredness on me. Then when you get in the way of what I want, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to fight you for it. I'm going to have an argument with you about it because it's all about me and my stuff and what I want and my pleasures. And if I'm running away from that, then suddenly you are less of a threat to me and I am less inclined to argue with you about which side of the church the piano ought to be on. Anybody ever have foolish arguments? Okay, don't make me ask your parents. Don't make me ask your kids or your spouse. You know the kinds of arguments that I'm talking about. The toothpaste righteousness argument. You know, do you squeeze it in the middle or at the end? It's at the end, for those of you who don't know. Or the toilet tissue argument, you know, toilet tissue righteousness over top or underneath. I'll settle that for you. It's over top. Years ago, I was traveling with my parents and my two brothers as a kid. We stopped to go to take a break, and I went in search of a restroom. I haven't rested since. I went in looking for a key or a door. I don't remember which. I do remember what happened and what I did find instead of either. You see, this was a service station, which are almost non-existent today, and there were actually garages that you could walk into. And so I wandered innocently in looking for a key, and as I got towards the back of the bay, this garage, there was a doorway to the left. And as I peered around, there was actually a German Shepherd there. He owned that doorway. And I didn't know the password. So I took the only other option that was available to my mind at the moment. And I ran. And I thankfully outran that German Shepherd the short distance back to my parents' car, got in the car, shut the door, looked out the window, and there was that German Shepherd looking back in the window at me. I haven't been to a restroom since. There is no speed like running away from something. Can I tell you that the evil addictions of youth, the evil desires of youth that Paul talks about, will eat you for lunch? Oh, no, it'd be okay. It's no big deal. Everybody does it. Sound familiar? Oh, it's just a German Shepherd. I'm sure he's friendly, and after he pulls out a few chunks of flesh, we'll be buddies. Wrong answer. What Paul is saying in this passage is, do you want to be an honorable vessel? You need to run from this stuff. It's never a good idea to play with temptation. Ask Eve how that worked for her. Watch your master, Jesus himself, deal with temptation. He quickly went to the word of his Father, and he quickly answered temptation with truth. You want to be an honorable vessel? Run away. All right, second point. You may have already figured it out. Second point is run. Run to. It's this hot pursuit. It's like, I've got to have this. It's like what I did when I discovered Cindy years ago. It's hot pursuit. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's saying, pursue, go after. And I got her, by the way, just in case you didn't notice. Run to what, Paul? Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue. Go after righteousness. Run to righteousness. Flip back to Romans, if you will, just for a moment. A familiar verse in Romans. Oh, just back a few books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. great declaration of this same Paul earlier in his life. He says there in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Paul tells Timothy and us to pursue that righteousness, to seek after the righteousness of Christ in our own lives. He alone produces that righteousness. And one of the ways that I experience that righteousness is by studying the truth of the Word of God, by understanding that He clothes me in His righteousness and has nothing to do with my performance. I study the Word of God and I discover that I am righteous. And so then I want to live that out. And I think that's what Paul is saying here. Live out the righteousness that we have in Christ. Pursue that righteousness for others, that they too might know the righteousness of Christ. Pursue it. You want to be a holy, honorable vessel for God? Pursue His righteousness not only in your life, but in the lives of others as well. Pursue that righteousness. Pursue faith. When difficulty comes in your life, does it become an overwhelming problem, or does it become an opportunity for your faith in God to grow? Pursue faith. This is what's cool, is earlier Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he tells us in Ephesians 2:8 that this faith itself is a gift from God. Let's think about that for a moment. This righteousness comes from God, and He alone grants us the strength to live out that righteousness that He has placed in us. This faith that grows within us is a gift from God Himself. Run not only to righteousness and faith, but also run to love. First, it would occur to us that to have that kind of love, we've got to be plugged in to the source of such love, 1 John chapter 4. Where does it come from? God is love. If God loved us, we ought also, brothers and sisters, to love each other. Can I just, little side note here, every once in a while I get glimpses of how you guys love each other. You guys are outrageous. It is so awesome as your pastor to hear from time to time how this one loved that one. I'm amazed at how you surround each other and love each other with the love of God. I've told you that before. I've been trapped down here after a service. I'm not trapped. I like to come down here so you don't feel like you have to say, good sermon, Pastor, you know, when you walk out the door. I like to be down here where if you want to talk and there's something you need to talk about, I'm here and I would love to talk with you and pray with you as need be. And yet sometimes I'll see somebody as a guest start to sneak out. They never make it to the door. It's awesome. You guys share the love of Christ with even strangers. Keep it up. Pursue that. That's what makes for an honorable vessel. But that love, like that righteousness and faith, that love comes from God Himself. And if we're not careful, we're going to wind up in the middle of a relationship with a living God in order to pursue righteousness and pursue faith and pursue love. And then finally, this run after, run to peace. I've said things like this before, that this peace comes from God. And show me somebody who's at war with their husband or wife or children or neighbors or everybody in the world, and I'll show you somebody that's not at peace with God. Show me somebody who's able to be at peace with others, and I'll show you somebody who is understanding and pursuing the peace of God. Paul wrote to the church at Rome in chapter 5 of Romans about this peace. We have peace with God through Christ Jesus, period. And we need to bathe ourselves with that truth. We need to be reminded of that. That I'm no longer God's enemy. I was. I rightfully was. I deserved to be his enemy for all eternity. But in Christ Jesus, he has chosen that I would not be his enemy any longer. But I am now at peace. God signed that peace treaty. And now I am his. And I have peace with the living God. And as a result, I can extend that peace to you. Run to peace. I can more easily be at peace with my brothers and sisters in Christ if I am running from my sinful desires. And therefore, I am not quarrelsome, not demanding my own way. And so when there's a breakdown in that peace, in that relationship with a brother or sister in Christ, I am challenging you not to go and talk to somebody else about it. Go and talk to the individual with whom you need to restore that peace. Well, but they started it. You take the high road. You be the instrument of peace. You be the one running after that peace. And when you see somebody who's not at peace with the living God, tell them how. Pursue that peace for them in their own life. Run to. See, that peace was shattered back in the Garden of Eden. It's fascinating to me to understand and to unravel that. We think we have new ideas. We don't. We think we have new excuses. We don't. But that peace was shattered and Adam and Eve hid because they were ashamed. And God comes walking, and what you see is a breakdown in that peace relationship between the Father and Adam. And you will see it rapidly travel from that relationship to the relationship with his bride. Watch it happen. God comes looking for Adam, and what does Adam say? I blew it, God. You're right. Oh, no. That's not what he said. Adam said, God, it's that woman that you gave me. So it's either her fault or it's your fault. There ain't no peace here. And that's why I say when things are shattered in my relationships at home, at church, in the neighborhood, I might want to start here and pursue that peace. It is a reality in Christ only. And I need to know that. I need to be reminded of that. I need to live in the reality of that. And I need to extend that peace to brothers and sisters. Well, how do you feel? You're a household good. You belong to the owner. You're his. And he will bring glory to his name through you. Do you want to be an honorable vessel? You need to run away from the sinful desires of youth. You need to run to righteousness, faith, love, and peace. But can I remind you, as I began, that what he calls us to is absolutely impossible without his strength, without his grace, without his help. He calls on us to respond to him in obedience. And so the application isn't to walk out those doors and go, boy, I'm going to do better with this temptation thing. I'm going to do better with, you know, pursuing righteousness and faith and love and peace. I got it. Thanks, Pastor. I understand it now. No, you need to understand that the ability to run away from sin and the ability to run to what God calls us to as his children requires that we park ourselves on his lap. Sheer and utter dependence upon the living God and his grace and strength in my life. May God help us to run away from the sinful desires of youth. You make the commitment. You choose to be obedient. You depend upon the living God for his grace and strength to run away from the sinful desires of youth and to run to his righteousness, his faith, his love, and his peace. Will you pray with me? Father, your word challenges us to that which is greater than are we. We need your strength. We need your help. We want to be honorable vessels, but Father, when we get down in the nitty-gritty of the battle, boy, we know the heart of this author from Romans 7, and we are too much like him. And there is a war waged within our hearts and lives. And God, we're all too often not willing to run because we just don't feel like it. We just don't have the strength to. Oh God, help us to want to. Help us to see sin for what it is and how destructive it is. Help us to see the beauty of being yours. Thank you for placing us in your house through Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Work in us both to will and to do your good pleasure. We want to be honorable vessels. Would you use us and shape us as such? For your glory, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.